Welcome to the Fulham on the Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 10:10 Irish Summer Time. Today is May 30th, and of course, this being Friday, it's the big picture long-term audio for the various different asset classes. But let's have a review of the week. Well, this has been a week in which government bond prices broke down from rather long top formations that we saw that developed following those accelerated highs they made back in January. And that is something I will talk about a little bit later. What we also saw is that oil backed away from the high it made at $135. It hit a low today of $124, so that's a reaction of $9. And that is no larger than we've seen in this really quite consistent uptrend. To reassert its uptrend, oil needs to push back above $130, $135, sustain a move up there, break upwards to new high ground to reassert its bullish outlook. A couple of things happened this week that put a bit of a question mark over whether that's going to happen. The first is that oil is moving into contango. And in my experience, at least, when markets have accelerated on the upside on a backwardation and then move into contango, it does point towards their days being numbered in terms of how long they can continue to make new highs for. Also, we saw that the oil sector in stocks has had a bigger reaction than we've seen throughout this long, well, this four-month uptrend that we've seen recently. So those are two things that are indication that this is on borrowed time, but also the chart pattern itself. It has been a remarkably consistent uptrend, which has been steepening quite considerably over the last 6 weeks or so. Reactions have been getting smaller, but more frequent. And that is an indication that the market is steepening, but it is also telling us that, well, any acceleration is an ending of unspecified duration, as we teach at the chart seminar, and oil is going to be no different. I think that there's a good chance that oil is going to resolve itself, whether it's going to break upwards to new high ground, but we're going to know in the next few weeks where oil is going, and I think there is a good chance that we will see a high of significance in the coming weeks, because it's either going to continue to accelerate on the upside, in which case we're going to start to see upper dynamics pretty quick, or it's going to break down, and a fall below $120 would be a much larger reaction, would break the progression of rising lows, and would tell us that oil is entering a medium-term correction. And that is going to be important because oil has been the leading concern among investors. With higher oil prices, we're seeing the inflationary fears of the population in general rising considerably because every time they fill their cars up, it's costing them more money. Food prices have also risen quite considerably, and food prices continue to hit the news headlines. However, food prices topped out back in March, and although they are still historically high, they remain in medium-term corrections. So with food and energy being the two big inflationary fears, well, the food prices have stabilized and could potentially start to come down. Energy prices are likely to resolve themselves in the next 6 weeks to 2 months. That does indicate that inflation is not going to be a problem 6 months from now. That is probably going to allow central banks to start to raise interest rates. And we saw Fed Governor Fisher talking yesterday about if inflation were a problem, that they would start raising interest rates rather aggressively. But it is also probably going to occur in any case because central banks have cut interest rates to the bone already and will be keen to start raising interest rates at the first excuse. So inflation is probably not going to be the kind of problem it is today, 6 months down the road. That's positive for stock markets. Now, government bond prices have come off in the last week. That's probably going to be supportive of stock markets in the short term, because if somebody is selling bonds, then they have only a range of a small range of other asset classes they can invest in. Cash is obviously up there, but if they're going to go for cash, they may as well have held on to the bonds. and at least in the short end of the curve. And if they were going to go for commodities, well, commodities are a bit high risk at the moment, and the only undervalued asset class out there is stocks right now. And we see historically, well, we see that PEs for a number of indices are at historically low levels over the last decade. So if one was fishing for bargains, one would be looking at the equity markets and potentially looking at corporate bonds that have been hit rather aggressively by the credit crisis. So that is supportive for stock markets in the short term. Longer term, if we see surging government bond yields and yields pushing back up towards highs that we saw 6 months to a year ago, well, that is going to be a headwind for stock markets. So while government bond prices falling is a boon for stock markets in the short term, it's probably a headwind for stock markets in the medium to long term. What we also see is that because of the massive injection of liquidity we've seen over the last year or so, and of course this hasn't been the first injection of liquidity, we've seen them continually over the last couple of decades, but just to list a few, we had the Russian debt default, the Asian financial crisis, we had Y2K, the Nasdaq bubble, 9/11. But any time the central banks of the world have seen any deflationary fears, the first thing that they do is cut interest rates, inject liquidity, because there is a perception that they can deal with inflation, but they have, following the Japanese experience, much greater difficulty dealing with deflation. That means that central banks have stoked this new inflationary cycle. They have probably also lengthened the credit cycle because of the amount of liquidity and interest and the way that they have cut interest rates so aggressively, also opening the discount window to more or opening to brokerages over the last year. And also looking at those government bond yield charts, government bond yields were in a bear market for much of the last 20 years. They bottomed in 2003, and the recent fall in yields tested the lows seen in 2003, but they did find support above those levels, and government bond yields are rallying from that area right now. And longer term, we can expect a progression of higher lows. So the next time we see interest rates being cut, whether that is 2 or 3 years from now, then we can expect them to start finding support above where they found support on this occasion. And when interest rates start to rise, we can expect those interest rates to push up to highs above 5% in the US and above the highs that we saw just recently. A progression of rising lows and higher highs, which over time will gather pace, but that could be a decade or could be 2 decades from now. But inflation is certainly in the public psyche, and it is starting to become a concern for people when they are choosing which investment to make. For that reason, resources, currencies, and resources stock markets have done particularly well recently. Precious metals remain at historically high levels, although they are in a medium-term correction. People are starting to accept the fact that commodities are in a secular bull market, although that could be well questioned as these medium-term corrections right across the sector, excluding energy for the moment, continue. But inflation is something that we will come to have to deal with as time goes by, and that will require a realization from investors that they will have to pick their investments a good deal more carefully if they want to maintain their principal in inflation terms. That is one of the reasons that we see a move into commodity index funds, because people are looking to get their hands on physical assets because they will still be there when fiat currencies are gone the way of the dodo. However, with the push into these commodity index funds, and bearing in mind that the largest weighting in those funds is in oil, there is the potential for a knock-on effect to the entire commodity sector when we eventually see oil starting to pull backwards. The companies that will do best and the commodities that will do best are the ones that have a good fundamental story behind them. And given the fact that so many of the companies that represent the resources sector have pricing power, have profit growth, and have access to irreplaceable reserves in secure parts of the world, then they are likely to remain in secular bull markets, although volatile bull markets, for the foreseeable future. And of course, that is dependent upon the supply inelasticity meets rising demand theme remaining intact. Well, supply inelasticity is characterized by those mining shares, but the rising demand is characterized by the enormous growth in middle classes right across the Asian region, but not, of course, isolated to Asia. You have the Middle East also growing quite quickly. But these growth regions are centered around big population are big population centers in their own right, with large young populations, with masses of new consumers entering the middle classes, and with GDP growth well in excess of where it is around the rest of the world. In fact, Asia leads the world in terms of GDP growth. That is going to be a very interesting area for investors for the foreseeable future. That is also going to be an area where we see massive infrastructure development, and that is sucking in all those commodities that people are investing in right now. Infrastructure development is a global theme, however, because it's not just population centers that need to build their infrastructure. Commodity exporting countries need to build their infrastructure to make sure that they can get as much of the commodities that they want to export out of the country as quick as possible. And infrastructure, as anyone who's living in Europe or in the US knows, infrastructure in this area is creaking and is badly in need of an overhaul. We can anticipate that occurring in the US probably in the next electoral cycle. But that is a theme that is also secular in nature, and we can anticipate it continuing for the foreseeable future. At this time, and given the competitive nature of globalization, there isn't a country in the world really wants a strong currency, but some of them want a weaker currency more than others. And for the last couple of years, that has been the US. The US has been running current account deficits and capital account deficits for quite a long time. And with the threat to the economy, particularly following this banking crisis, having a weak dollar has certainly helped. GDP figures have remained in positive territory, regardless of how many people have been talking about the entire economy moving into recession, although arguably the domestic economy is in deep recession. But what we also see, just having a quick word on the property markets, is that property was a one-way bet for much of the last decade, and it was one of the best performing asset classes when we had this disinflationary environment and interest rates were really quite low. However, in a new inflationary environment, while real estate should hold its value in inflation adjusted terms, it's unlikely to be the be-all and end-all that it was in the last decade. The reason for that, of course, is because rising interest rates and rising yields make mortgages more expensive. But what we've seen is also that the real estate market has gone through a bubble phase in a number of particularly Anglophone markets, and that's going to take time to work its way through. It also means that investors who have made a lot of money from real estate will be looking for another asset class to invest in. Now, they may go for property in some of these developing countries, which will also benefit from growth in those regions, but they may just go for another asset class, and that asset class could be equities, or it could be commodities, and more likely to be commodities. That's the new secular theme of this era. The equity markets right now are quite nervous. Resources markets have led on the upside as inflationary pressures have given way to a realization right around the world that resources are probably going to be a good bet. And resources markets have led on the upside. Those markets that are heavily weighted to oil that have moved on the upside, such as Russia and Norway, are probably going to be the ones most under pressure when oil eventually does start to pull backwards. What we can expect is that those countries that produce vast amounts of all types of commodities have a competitive advantage relative to other countries. And if they also have good governance and are able to diversify their economies, they're good long-term plays, particularly those that are democracies and are politically stable, such as Australia and Canada. But of course, Brazil is also coming fast on the outside. What we also see is that if inflationary pressures are going to start to subside, and we have a bonus that government bond prices are coming down, which we see investors looking for another asset class, that is supportive of equity markets in the medium term. In the short term, equity markets are still quite volatile and really rather nervous. But as inflationary fears start to subside, and I anticipate that that is going to happen in the next 3 to 6 months, then that will be supportive of stock markets. Markets that are less exposed to the subprime slime are going to perform relatively better, and those that are heavily weighted to banks are probably going to perform relatively worse. It looks like banking shares are going to move into a gradual basing formation, and that is something that will take a considerable amount of time. Getting back to the currency argument, the dollar has been appreciating of late, and it probably has room to appreciate further in the short term. In the long term, we've seen that the dollar takes a long time to bottom out. So there is plenty of potential for this dollar to come back and test its recent lows or potentially make new lows over the next year. But in the short to medium term, it has further room to move on the upside. That could put pressure on commodity markets generally. But looking longer term, we also see that the Asian region has, by and large, got currencies that are relatively undervalued. And if one was to bet on an area where currencies were generally going to move on the upside, it would probably be Asia. Singapore has already moved its currency or allowed its currency to appreciate to levels not seen since before 1997. And China is also allowing its currency to appreciate. India, although its currency has been weak of late, is probably on a new secular uptrend with the rupee. That is also supportive of stock markets in the region for foreign investors. And it's certainly something to bear in mind for longer term investors. Supply elasticity meets rising demand is the major theme of this era. And resources and the development of Asia are going to be the two leading themes going forward. There's been an awful lot of talk of late about bubbles developing. What I don't see a bubble in any market today. What we do see is that some markets have appreciated considerably, and that is obviously very good for people who have been long of that sector, but they're not at bubble type territory. Bubbles are manias that attract investors from all over the world and who then compete with each other to get bigger percentages of markets. And we just haven't seen that either in emerging markets or in resources just yet. The question is, of course, could that develop? And I think we can give that a qualified yes, provided there is nothing happens to derail the supply and elasticity meets rising demand theme. But we're just not there yet. We're still in a period of time where there's just grudging acceptance that resources markets can move and sustain their moves on the upside beyond cyclical moves. And as that gains wider acceptance, and as we see larger numbers of IPOs, that IPOs are still relatively thin on the ground for this sector. And if this truly were a bubble, we would have IPOs of new mines and new resources companies every week. And that's simply not the case right now. So these are things to bear in mind as we go forward. But I will leave you with that sunny thought, and well, have a great weekend, and I will certainly aim to enjoy mine, but thank you for your time.